Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Grey's Academy, a bonus episode, kind of, if you will, a little extra, a little special. I'm one of your co-hosts, Kelsey.
And I am one of your co-hosts, Carmen, and it is a beautiful, not 3 a.m. night. It is exactly 1:13 p.m. Central Time, United States of America.
2:13 p.m.?
Yes.
Good time.
In
Eastern time.
And it's a beautiful day to podcast. Hello. Surprise. It's a second episode this week.
Happy Friday in your time.
You know, this worked out really great now that I have no job.
Okay. Surprise. Also, that's another surprise.
Surprise. So we are living solely on Patreon subscriptions now. That's the only way that I'm going to be able to make my monthly rent or my mortgage. Not a rent. It's a mortgage.
It's the only way to feed the baby.
Yep. Feed the baby, the cat, and the dog. And then Jessica can starve and fend for herself. She's a natural hunter-gatherer. By trade.
Sure. Yeah. She could kill a bear.
She could hunt her and gather these nuts.
Well, I hated that. Okay. So, super excited to get into the back half of a three-part episode. Got lots to talk about. Lots of things happened.
Yeah.
And it's good stuff.
Way more intense of an episode than I imagined it was going to be. I think at the end of last episode, I specifically said, what? What was
Sorry,
that?
The freaking Alexa just started talking to me.
Oh, shut up, Alexa.
Wants. Scared the shit out of me.
This episode, if you listen to the last one, I think one of my predictions was what could possibly happen? And everything had just happened. Everything in the fucking world just happened.
So let's talk about things.
But before we do that, what should people do, Kelsey, if they have 30 seconds of their time, like right now, to do something?
If you could Venmo me $50, I'd really appreciate it.
What else non-Venmo related could they do? Send you some eggnog if you have some time.
I hate eggnog, guys,
mail
so
Kelsey
much.
Eggnog,
please don't. Yeah, do that. Follow us on the social meds. We are Grey's Academy Pod.
The Soch Meads? The fuck? Where did you just make that up, or is that a trendy thing that now I'm old?
I don't think it's trendy, but I've heard it before. People say it ironically, and it's funny because it's stupid, and that's why it's funny. Because it's gross.
Anyways, it is gross.
Grey's Academy Pod on Instagram. If you want to send us an email to chit-chat about how you found us all the way in Germany or Canada or Louisiana or wherever you're listening from. Around the country and around the world, we'd love to hear from you. graysacademypod@gmail.com. You can follow Carmen at carmen.gabriel.official on Instagram. And you can follow me at chaoticallykelsey on Instagram.
Do those things. And give us a 5-star review wherever you listen. That's very important. Most critical.
You don't mind. And if you do mind, then please do it anyways, because it really doesn't take that long to do it.
It takes literally not even one full second. I think
just
that the science has come up with the time that it takes to click, and it's 1/4 of a millisecond. It's just, and it's just done.
Yeah.
Not even one full second.
But anyways. So many of those in 1 second.
Yeah. We can get so many 5-star reviews in 1 full second. We just need 1 full second cumulatively of all of our listeners' times. Also, be prepared, because on the Patreon over the next week or two, we will have some fan fiction reading that we're going to be doing and live reacting to. One of our Patreon subscribers, Alicia, has graciously sent us in some homemade fan fiction. I don't even remember what it was that I was asking about, but I'm very excited. It's going to be great. Have you started reading it yet? Have you started looking into it?
I skimmed it. It's good stuff.
Is it good?
It's going to be a good time.
Is it is it going to get both of us moist while we read it live on air?
For don't our... say that to me. Please.
You're right. We're both parents now. We can't say moist live on a podcast.
I don't mind the word moist. I hated the whole sentence you just said.
Is this fan fiction going to get us both moist?
Why? I just said don't say it again. And what did he do? He immediately
what if I
said
ask,
it again.
What if I ask it? Moist?
It's been a while since I did that.
It's been a while.
Okay.
Anyways, want to hear what crazy thing happened and how to get away with murder the other day?
Oh my God. That's also on Patreon. Get it together.
All right. Okay. All right.
This is the 17th episode of the third season. It is the 53rd episode overall, and it is titled Some Kind of Miracle. Carmen.
I have information about that. So full disclosure, I have a little bit different information than usual because this is a surprise episode. Obviously things are a little unorthodox. I did not listen to the song before watching this episode. So I'll give you a little bit of, the lyrics and how I think they make sense to this episode on a post-humorous, kind of way after watching it. But I can tell you that, yes. But Some Kind of Miracle was from the album Thankful, and it is by the first ever American Idol winner, Kelly Clarkson, who, let me just tell you, I never watched American Idol, and Jessica loves Kelly Clarkson. Young Kelly Clarkson could get it. She is stunning. Yeah, wow. The Kelly Clarkson show, I don't know if it's still running, but that was definitely a staple in our house for quite some time. Jessica's, that's like her big, it's like, she loves her. Anyways, the album.
She likes.
Yeah. Well, her in general, Jessica loves Kelly Clarkson.
I do like Kelly Clarkson.
I'm a fan too. I always thought she was very, very funny and has a good personality. And she seems just like a wholesome human, you know?
Yeah. She's quite talented.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, a wonderful voice. Can't say anything bad about it. This song was released in the United States under the RCA Records contract on April 15th, 2003. The singles off of that album were Miss Independent, Low, and The Trouble with Love Is. So there were three singles released off that album. Now, this is her debut album as well. So I don't know if I mentioned that, but this is very important to note that this is coming off of the heels of winning American Idol. So a lot of people were listening in on this. And the album itself did have a lot of charting qualities to it. It didn't, the physical song, Some Kind of Miracle, did not. But let me just go ahead and tell you a little bit about this album. So it reached Billboard 200, number one, which was great. It reached as high as number five in the Canadian Albums Billboard. It reached number 12 in Norway. And in the UK, it reached as high as 41. So overall, it did really well. Obviously, in the United States, it was most famous, but it reached double platinum in the United States with $2.8 million sales of the album. So
that's a lot.
And now the lyrics,
and that's back
to this,
when we were really buying CDs
or ripping it off Bear Share and, you know, LiveWire, giving your computer just the worst of all viruses. So a couple of lyrics that really stood out to me in this. Where was this? Did I lose it already? Oh, this line here specifically, just when I'd given up, you gave me love. My world was tumbling down. You turned it around, baby. That I think is baby.
Turn it around, baby.
Turn it around, baby. But that specifically stood out to me because I think the whole message of the episode is like, you know, obviously Meredith is broken. She's in a weird spot mentally, but she's trying. The whole point of this episode is trying to figure out who she is, why she's here, not disappearing. She has more to say. And part of the thing that they put in there is her connection to Derek and how he was able to love her and love each other through all of those things that were going on with Ellis. So that specific line in the song kind of stood out to me. And then even Denny, I don't think he uses the word miracle, but he says that it's rare that Derek is the kind of person who doesn't lose optimism and is able to, you know, believe in magic and soulmates and all that. And the next line after that is, you're some kind of miracle. You're a miracle to me. So that's my analysis of the song. This specific one didn't chart, like I said, but that's what I got for the album, and I hope you guys appreciated that insight. Kelsey, back to you with sports.
Thanks. Okay. This episode that was, like a, was,
you went like Macho Man Randy Savage on that one. You went,
it's fine.
It was great. He's a local Downers Grove treasure here in Illinois.
Oh, is he really? I did not know that.
Cream rises to the top, brother.
Oh my.
It's my Macho Man, Randy Savage.
So this episode was written by Shonda, and she had a co-writer on it. And I found out that this episode, so these three episodes were originally pitched as two episodes. There was going to be the ferry crash and then this one. And then they realized that the ferry crash situation was going to have to be two episodes. So then they brought in this person, this extra person, Marty Noxon, to help co-write this back half of episode. So that was my fun fact.
I can't imagine what we've seen taking two episodes. Yeah. I don't feel like they stretched it. I feel like it was the perfect length.
Yeah. They weren't stretching. She just realized, like, as she was riding the ferry boat, that she was like, this has to be two. Like, this cannot all go into one. So, I mean, if she's going to do it, she's going to really, really go hard on it. That's for sure.
You have my seal of approval, Shonda. This is the Shonda way.
So then it was directed by Adam Arkin. It aired February 22nd, 2007, and 27.39 million views. So up like 2 million from last time. So again, probably people had like heard that Meredith was dying and they're like, let's see how they do this. So they tuned in to be like, why are you killing your main character? And they were not, but this is the Netflix synopsis for this one. Meredith flatlines and gets a visit from Denny in the and Dylan in the afterlife. Derek works to bring her back from the brink, which is not true. He does not do that.
No, but he thinks about her, which, you know, goes a long way in medicine. You just have to think really hard. That's what this episode has taught me. You just have to really think about loving the person a lot and they live.
That's all it takes.
They don't. These are the things they don't teach you in medical school, friends. So listen to us, because we are not doctors and we can teach you something about being not doctors.
We will give you a medical degree. It will not be valid, but we could give you one. Okay, so let's dive right in. This synopsis, I mean recap rather, sorry. This recap is the Ellis and Meredith yelling at each other fiasco. Denny dying, Dylan blowing up, Bonnie. Do you remember Bonnie?
I do remember Bonnie.
Did you see that
coming? I don't remember her name, but I called her Long Pole Girl.
It was Bonnie.
Yeah, that was Bonnie. Also, imagine being, this is the first episode you watch of Grey's, and in the recap, you see a human explode. Like, that made me chuckle, because you didn't watch this live. Like, yes, you obviously saw the episode. But again, this isn't in the days of DVR or streaming. And if you're getting caught up, or maybe you had the show going a little bit too long after you just finished watching whatever sports team lost, and you walked away and the TV is still on, and you come back to sit down to change the station, and you see previously on Grey's Anatomy, and it's just a human exploding. and you're like, wait, now I have to watch this. And that's what got people hooked. Yeah. Humans. That's how you got me. Yeah.
Okay. So Meredith is doing her voiceover and talking about miracles. The doctors are working on her still. Bailey and Burke are talking to Dr. Weber about how long they should keep working on her, and kind of like tiptoeing around the subject of like, yo, she's dead. And he's like, not going to give up. And he says, this is Ellis Gray's little girl. Ouch. She's not dead until she's warm and dead, which I don't know if they've said that before, but they say it after for sure. Something that has been said in this show multiple times. So Also, then Addison gets a page and Dr. Bailey tells her that the interns are waiting outside. So like, she's like, whatever you say to them, like, do a good job, basically. Like, their sanity depends on your delivering of this news. And
she does a good job. She does a good job.
She does. So she goes out and she's like, or is it later that she goes out? Yeah, it's later. Okay. So this is the first flash to the, I'm going to call it the vision. I don't know what else to call it. Meredith's vision. What were you calling it?
I didn't even call it anything. I just was making notes. Yeah. It's, this is dead Meredith. This is dead Meredith. And we'll get live Meredith later, but this is currently dead Meredith.
And I wanted to make a note. Every time we go to dead Meredith, there is the tolling of a bell. It's very ominous.
Yes.
It's a very ominous sound. And it happens every single time we cut to the dead scene, the dead world. Excuse me. Denny and Dylan are arguing essentially about which one of them is better at being dead.
Which is hilarious. This is great. I love that.
Yeah, their dynamic is funny, and it's like you never would have seen that ever in the original scenario of the two of them being alive. So it's just interesting. An interesting take on that. And then Meredith is like, is this my brain? Because if it's my brain, then why isn't the dog here? And then the dog is there. And all is right because the dog is there. So she gets to see Doc and she's all cuddling on Doc and it's very cute. Dylan goes in about her being dead and Denny's like, it's like a lot. What you're doing is like too harsh. Like, can you calm it down? And they're like, we don't have time to calm down. And I'm like, okay, like, I know you're a bomb guy, but like, it's fine. Settle.
Well, they mention that specific idea of there's not time multiple instances throughout this dead Meredith vision. And I didn't think anything of it at first because I thought he was just being dramatic, but then the more and more they're like, we just don't have time for this, and neither do you, Meredith. And I'm like, okay, I don't understand. I'm lost. What's the metaphor here? And we finally get the metaphor at the end, but they didn't really explain it well in that first couple of times. You just click.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I like Dylan. They should bring him back as a different character.
He is very talented, but he was really busy doing Friday Night Lights, I think.
He's the main
guy on that show. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose. That might be what they say. I think that's what they say.
I've never seen one episode of that show.
Same. Yeah. Saw the movie, though. Tim McGraw was
next on the Carmen and Kelsey podcast. It's Friday Night Lights. We finish all the Shondaland shows, then do Suits, then do Psych, and then we'll circle back to Friday Night Lights.
We'll be dead. Okay, so this is good. Denny's like, you drowned. Do you remember that? And she goes, yeah, that sucked. Okay. I mean, I'm sure it did, but how casual. They say she's running out of time. And again, like, they're not saying what time for what, whatever. Addison goes to the interns and she's like, it's not good. So like, prepare yourselves. And Alex goes with Addison to go check on Jane Doe. Christina just like fails to process this situation and just says, nope, can't do it, and leaves. I also read that this was highly debated in the writing room because that's like very bad doctoring. And that's like not necessarily, I guess they went back and forth on whether it was in line with Christina's character to just like leave in the middle of a shift. But they were essentially saying, if she was ever going to do that, it would be in this situation. So,
and she
leaves.
Like,
yes.
Like, not just she's like, I got to go check on patients. She's gone.
Yes. She is off the premises and drinking. Again, not great doctoring, but also again, if not now, then when would that ever happen? Izzy is still being optimistically annoying. And then back in the vision, Doc, Denny, Dylan, Bonnie, and Elizabeth, Nurse Fallon.
So many people came back. If this was not, if we hadn't already covered all of these people before, this would have been a wild living in Shondaland.
Yes, it would have. So then they're all asking her, and Denny's like, tell me about the water. Tell me about the water, Meredith. What happened in the water? Meredith, what happened?
It's a really good Denny impression.
Thanks. I think so, too. I just need, like, a shirt that fits me, like, really well. Like, it just hugs my pecs and then hangs really nicely. Yeah. You forget, because all of these people, other than Dylan, the other three, when we see them, they're dying, so they look not great. And they come back in this episode, I'm like, y'all look nice, right? Denny always looks great when he's not in a hospital bed. Nurse Fallon very looks handsome. Like she's not dying of liver cancer. Although, okay, so in the original episode she was in, they say pancreatic cancer. And then in this episode, they say liver cancer.
Plot hole.
And then obviously Bonnie doesn't have a pole through her and has not been on a train that's derailed. So,
and also Dylan isn't in a million pieces.
Yes, he's fully intact. Okay, so Ellis is screaming at your best friend Olivia.
Yeah, what the fuck? They bring Olivia back for 5 seconds just to get shat on by Ellis?
Yeah, everyone needs a turn getting shot on by Ellis.
Well, not anymore.
What? Okay,
spoiler
so,
alert.
Mark comes in and he's like, just sedate her. Like, it's a day she should sleep through. Like, she's her daughter is dying. So, like, just put her under. So then Jane Doe is also freaking out and Addison, like, trying to explain to her what's happening. And she's like, just tell my husband to take me home. Like, I want to go home. And she turns to Alex and he's like, I'm not, I just found you. And she's like, no, I, and that's when they kind of realize that she doesn't know at all what's happening.
Literally anything.
And she has 100% amnesia. Does
also,
not even know her
own
name.
She's messed up. She has just broken teeth. Her face is a mess.
Yes,
and the baby
is
fine.
Is so
I don't.
Swollen.
It's so swollen. I feel terrible because things like that really happen in real life.
Yeah.
And it's just a miracle, which is a word that they use. Miracles happen all the time, just not
miracles
when you need them.
Miracles happen. Oh my God! They announced they're doing a third Princess Diaries. You guys, it is confirmed. I am so excited.
Miracles are true and real. Because of that. They true. Also announced, never mind, I'm not going to say the stupid thing I was going to say, but
okay.
Never mind. Yeah, I'm just not going to, never mind. Everything's great. Where was I going with this?
Jane Doe.
Jane
her
Doe.
Her face is damaged.
Just completely thrashed. But it's, I almost feel a little bit bad for Alex because you know he cares so deeply, but he also is like, I just can't do shit for you. Like, there's literally nothing I could do. And then they're discussing it in the hallway, and I don't remember what exactly that they had said, but I think it was the amnesia thing, and Addison was like, well, yeah, best case scenario, it's just amnesia. Because apparently all the other things, I think, are brain damage related.
Yeah. So, do you recognize this actress yet?
Absolutely not.
Okay, you will. You will when she isn't like that.
Can you just tell me who she is?
I can. Do you want me to, or do you want to be surprised?
Do you want me to? Am I really going to recognize this actress?
I know you've seen movies that she's in.
Movies. Okay, movies. What movie? Give me one of the movies that you know I've seen. Let me see if I can guess
it
right now.
It's a franchise.
Star Wars?
No.
Rocky?
It is a franchise you would have not chosen to watch on your own.
50 Shades of Grey.
No.
Twilight?
Yep.
Is this Kristen Stewart?
Nope. Wouldn't that be wild, though?
Is this Edward?
It's Robert Pattinson.
It's Robert... Is it the Batman? Is the Batman the pregnant amnesia Jane Doe? He's a wow. He really has
what
his acting is incredible.
No, it's the vampire mom.
Okay, I don't know if I would have recognized her.
You would. She has very distinctive features.
Oh, okay. No one's as hot as that one sister, though. The one vampire sister. She's the best.
Alice.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just an absolute smoke show.
Okay. So, yes, yeah, she has amnesia.
Robert Addison fucking Pattinson.
And Addison and Alex are talking in the hall, and she's like, do you want to, like, be with your friends, the other interns? And he's like, no, I can't do anything. I need to, like, be doing something. And he's like, Meredith just, what is it he says? Meredith makes me think that screwed up people have a chance. And
that's a big line.
He counts himself as a screwed up person. So that's their connection for sure. And yes, I would agree. That is a big line. Good Alex episode. Good guy, Alex, this one.
Good guy, Alex.
Doctors are still working on Meredith, cannot get her heart to start. Izzy comes in. They're like, what the fuck are you doing? And Burke asks where Christina is, and she's like, she left. And he's like, it's the middle of her shift. Where did she go? And well, she went to the dollar store.
Which is also my happy place too, the dollar store.
That's how she's coping. Bonnie and Denny are trying to convince Meredith to listen to them because she, quote, doesn't have a lot of time. And whilst Bonnie is pleading with her, she starts to, like, and then, like, just bleeding from that, you know, injury of the pole in her middle.
Right out of her pipe hole.
Okay. The worst.
That was not intended to be dirty. That's literally what I wrote here. Look at this. What did I say? All caps. Yo, what the fuck? She is bleeding in her pipe hole with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 exclamation points.
Okay, well, it wasn't a pipe, but it's fine. It does not matter.
Well, what? It was a giant pipe rail of some sort. She was like, kebabbed.
Pole, yeah. I don't think it was a pipe. I think it was a pole.
Okay, a pipe pole. A pipe pipe pole and pipe hole sound very similar. It's like that episode of South Park when Kanye West is on there and they're like, are you saying fish sticks or fish dicks?
It's exactly like that.
I just shit my bed.
Okay. That's anyway. So then we get the title card like 6.5 minutes in.
No. It's 8 minutes and 18 seconds.
8 minutes and 18 seconds, guys. Maybe I didn't change it from last week.
Maybe, but also, did you know you got the recap? You got the recap.
Okay.
I don't know.
So Meredith is trying to work on Bonnie, and Elizabeth and Denny and Dylan are telling her there's no point. Elizabeth is like, it just happens with Bonnie. You just got to wait it out. It's fine. Don't worry about it. Everybody's great here in the Deadland. Dylan and Bonnie disappear. It's just Denny and Meredith. And then he's like, do you want to talk about it or do you want to waste more time? Okay. I am making fun of this because saying it now, it sounds very melodrama. The acting in this episode is incredible. Like, it's,
oh, yeah.
When you like talk about it and like say these lines, it sounds really melodramatic, but like they did such a good job. It's so sincere and it's really believable. It doesn't feel melodrama when you're watching it. It feels completely like valid and genuine. So I'm just being the worst. So that's on me. But
no, that's
fine. I actually
fine.
Think they did a great job. The acting across the board in this episode is phenomenal. Like every single person in this episode did great. Obviously, the writing is also excellent.
Yeah, writing, so. Acting, excellent. Also, you know how you and I, we're living in Shondaland?
Mm-hmm.
They're dying in Shondaland.
They have died, but they still live there. That's how permanent Shondaland is.
Purgatory in Shondaland, our favorite spot to be.
I would die there.
It was great. Even including having to see Bonnie, like, just compulse. Like,
yeah,
not
that
compulse,
wasn't great.
Pulsate and then just bleed out of her pipe
like,
hole.
Kind of seizing. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's not like Dylan just spontaneously explodes. Like, what? I don't understand why only Bonnie is. It's like Denny just randomly has a stroke. And
yeah, I don't know. Maybe
there's a weird metaphor somewhere in
herself.
Dylan did say that he processed his thing. And he's like, I can go come and go as I please. Like, I don't need to be here. I don't need to be here for this shit, you fuckers.
I think Denny's there specifically for Izzy, essentially. And Bonnie, I mean, she says later on, when we get into it, like, she's like, what happened to me sucks. So maybe she hasn't like processed enough to get over it. I don't know. This is a very,
that was Into You Like a Train. That was like season one, episode nine, right?
It was season two. It was like mid-ish season, early season two, because it was supposed to be the season one finale or the season two opener.
You're right. I remember you saying that.
Season two opener. Yeah. Miranda says, like, we've been working for over an hour. Like, we have to assume, like, it might be. And Richard is still arguing, like, she's going to be fine. She's strong. She's young. She's healthy. Christina's drinking. She's drinking at Joe's and showing off all her 99 cent purchases. It's great. She's like, you want some moisturizer? For 99 cents, you can get moisturizer. He's like, it smells like burning.
What does she say? That's sugar cookie or gingerbread. Gingerbread.
Yeah. Gingerbread. Gosh. So she's like, look at this chair. It's so tiny and tiny sized. For 99 cents, you can buy furniture. That's America, man. To which Joe says, that's Taiwan, man.
So savage.
Yeah. Calling out the capitalism. We love to see it. Joe asks, he's like, hey, that fairy thing, like, that looked pretty bad. Is there a reason you're not working? And she's like, hey, I'm coping. Let me cope. Look at my shit.
Yeah, I want you to know that I wrote down this quote. I'm coping, so shut up and look at all my crap. That gets the award for the most Kelsey thing to say in a Grey's episode today.
I love Christina so much. This is such a good episode for Christina. I love it. It's one of my faves.
Yeah. I wouldn't say that this is a good episode for Christina, it's an episode.
Fun episode to watch.
Yes, good acting episode, but like left her hospital shift in the middle and probably won't even get a reprimand. She's not going to get in trouble.
Yeah, no, she's definitely not. I was actually thinking about that because I was like, well, Izzy just came off probation and Christina is now drinking while on her shift. So they're definitely not going to do anything about it, but it's, I guess everyone gets a pass when their best friend is dying. But Izzy,
which is how life should work.
Fiance died.
Well,
not really the same.
Do we have time to talk about this a little bit? Because I think we should explain that they are very different.
They're very different. I am aware of that. Also, okay.
Don't Izzy just Christina stand this. Oh, Izzy's the fuck. She's a joke. This whole episode arc, she's an asshole.
No, the first two were fine because she wasn't with any of her friends. She was just drilling holes in that guy and saving his life.
Okay,
but the two before was when she was being a bitch to Callie and she was like, oh, tiny diamonds are great.
I don't know. I loop in her weird monologue just to this. I include that in the whole arc.
You're right. That was last episode. That was also.
Hey, I know we all need to band together for Meredith dying, but let me just take this time to George tell you.
You're garbage. Like, your choices are garbage.
I'm going to let you finish, but Callie's the worst, and Beyonce should have won Artist of the Year.
George, I'm going to let you have your marriage, but you shouldn't have married her.
Let me just shit on everything you love. And then also double the fuck down in this episode.
Okay.
Gosh, Izzy, fuck.
So at this point, Bailey tells Callie, she's like, I'm putting you in charge of my interns. Like, please go do something with them. So Callie comes out and she's like, let's go to the clinic. And Izzy's like, no, I have to stand here. She'll die if I don't stand here. And Callie's like, can we just go to the clinic and like be helpful? Like, we need to like stay together and like be there for each other. And Izzy's like aggressive eye roll. And I'm like, oh my God, are you 14 years old?
I'm shocked. Jeez. She listened in this episode, exact moment.
Alex is asking Jane Doe like the medical history questions. And she's like, I don't know. And he's like, yeah, you don't know any of this. And she's like saying she doesn't know if she's married. She says she has a ring line, but no ring. What does that mean? And then later she says, I feel married. Okay.
Maybe she was getting it cleaned. Maybe it was getting resized because of the baby swelling.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, I definitely took my rings off before 7 months because I was so paranoid that my hands were going to swell and they were going to have to cut my rings off me. So I would just wear the little, like, silicone ones, which are quite comfortable. Alex asks, oh no, sorry. She asks Alex, like, is it really bad? Like, are you, like, you're upset? Like, am I gonna die? And he's like, no, it's my friend was also in an accident. Like, looks pretty bad. It's not going great. So he's still definitely preoccupied by that, even though he's trying to busy himself. He is still lost in thought.
Yeah. You may have been crushed by a pylon, but this girl drowned for 45 minutes.
Don't worry, though. She's fine.
But listen, I have this other blonde friend who believes that she'll live, so everything's okay.
Everything's great. Sydney is still trying to control the clinic, and she's like, I don't have an update, but we have a blood shortage. So if you are eligible to donate blood, please do it, which is a very good use of that, I feel like, space and also the kind of energy to be like, while you're waiting, come help save people.
Yeah. About time she does something and steps up.
Side note, if you can donate blood, please donate blood. It's good. There's still a national shortage. It's not as bad as it was a couple months back, but there's still a national shortage here in the US. So if you're eligible, check out and see if there's a spot near you. They finally rolled back out the big buses that go around, because that's why it's not the only reason. That's a main reason there was a shortage, is because during COVID they stopped doing the mobile units, which would just like go to people's offices or like stores and stuff. So it was just harder for people to get down to the place where you donate blood. But now they've started bringing those back. So like, check locally around. Sometimes they'll give you shirts and movie tickets and other fun things. But if you can donate blood, it's very helpful. I think one donation can save up to 3 lives, I believe, is the statistic that's typically quoted.
Wow. So, that's impressive.
Yeah.
I remember donating blood in high school, and I always selected it in the classes that I didn't want to do it. And it was like, sign up to donate blood. And I was like, oh, hell yeah. Get the fuck out of here, math. Get out of here.
Yeah.
Anthropology. Get out of here, anthropology. Who needs that?
Anthropology in high school?
Yeah, it was an elective, and I got like a 15% in that class. I'm not even joking.
You graduate?
I almost didn't, you know? Almost didn't. That was a different time in my life. Really proud of my parents' divorce right in the middle of the most pivotal time of my life. I'm unemployed. I'm unemployed because of my mom and dad.
As long as you have someone to blame. That's all that really matters.
I got jobs in spite of them, and finally their divorce has caught up to me and gotten me divorced.
Oh no.
gotten me unemployed.
What can you imagine if like you were getting a divorce and this is how you told me? Like on the podcast?
What is
I would just stop recording.
I'm like, hey guys,
and
listen up.
Done.
So we're going to get a live reaction of Kelsey, and she has no idea the bomb about to drop on her. Her two best friends in the world are getting divorced. This is so exciting. Thanks for coming on this journey. Selfie.
I know this is an audio podcast, so no one can see, but Carmen actually held his phone. Like, he was prepped and ready for that selfie bit at the end there.
I aim to please.
The commitment to the bits are great. Okay, anyways, donate blood. Callie,
yeah, what we're trying to say here, we've started this podcast just to tell you all to donate blood. This is really 3 seasons
you
in the
should
making.
Though it's good.
It is. It's
I
great
think I mentioned it. I think I've mentioned it before, but also still do it. Callie is trying to be kind and like reassuring, and Izzy is trying to be a raging bitch and like start shit so hard. Literally tells Callie that she basically doesn't know Meredith well enough to give a shit if she dies. Callie is like, I am like, George is my husband, to which Izzy responds, stop saying that like it means something. What is wrong with you?
She's crazy.
Like, I don't even care if, like, your whole, like, this is her coping, like, she's upset. Well, I don't care, okay? Because this attitude, it could not be more of, like, she didn't do this when Denny died, so don't tell me this is how she copes with shit. Okay, she's right. mad at George for marrying Callie. This is so unrelated to the Meredith situation, and she's just using the Meredith situation as an excuse to be like, oh, I'm upset so I can be the absolute worst to my best friend's wife.
Yeah. Also, I'm not a fan of the TV and movie trope of... like it's a common theme of you don't know them. You haven't earned the right to feel bad.
Yeah.
You haven't earned the right to mourn for them. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, like oh, I'm a better friends with them than you are, so you can't be upset at all. Yeah. That's not how friendship works.
Right. It's not how the human connection works either.
Yes, like exactly.
I could meet you for 5 minutes and have the same connection with you that someone has known you for a year. Or, you know, some other shit. Not saying that's likely, but it's possible. So, Izzy, you just need to back off of Callie because literally she's done nothing, even though she gets a little bit harsh this next scene, but still not.
I'm like very team Callie, and then she has a slip up at the end of this monologue when she's like, you can keep on the way you are and be that person George used to know, and you can't afford to lose another friend, not when people around you keep. And then Izzy finishes for her, keep dropping like flies, kind of takes the wind out of the sails on being on Callie's side, because you're like, yeah, Callie, tell her, stick it to her, yeah, you win. And then she's like, ooh, that was misstep.
Shouldn't have brought all the dead people into it.
Well, it does kind of suck.
It was like she was fully aboard Team High Road, and then she took one exit too soon, and she's back on the low road.
Yeah, she was so close, and then, oh, we're done. Denny is still trying to get Meredith to talk about what happened, and Bonnie is mad that she keeps saying she drowned. She's like, you keep saying you didn't drown, like, you are wrong. And then she's like, oh, Meredith goes, you were so brave when you came into the ER. And she was like, yeah, I was hopped up on adrenaline and drugs. Like, what happened to me sucks, and I am, like, am fully aware of that now. And this is where we're talking about, like, maybe she hasn't fully processed, and that's why she has this thing where she just starts bleeding when she gets mad. Like, maybe she isn't really fully separated from her death.
Interesting thought. I didn't think about that.
So, because then she says, like, what happened to me sucked, and here you are all happy and perky to be dead. And Meredith is like, well, I fought hard and I swam and I tried. There's like, no, you didn't. Also, this to me is like a very profound line that Bonnie has. How can you be a surgeon and have such little respect for life? Wow.
Yeah.
That's
real deep. I also made a note of quoting that line. We talked last episode, about how you have to have a little bit of the Alex in you to be able to differentiate between, like, this is your job, and also, like, I can be empathetic, but if I can't do anything to save someone, I'm not going to care.
Right.
And I think that this is just, like, it's the second part of that 1-2 punch of, as a surgeon, you need to have respect for life. But I think in my opinion, if I'm looking at this from, like, a purely metaphorical standpoint, you have to respect life so much that when you can't do anything, you don't.
Right.
And if we're also looking into the metaphor of this particular episode, it is interesting how Weber and Bailey and all the people working on Meredith are walking that fine line of they respect life so much that they want to save Meredith, but they are maybe respecting life too much that could they be helping other people in this moment? You don't know. But I made a note of that here, and I wanted to bring those two points together and see if you had any thought on that as well.
I think in this line it's like really calling out Meredith's hypocrisy, because like her life is about saving other people's life. But when it comes to her own life, she's like, well, I'm not going to do what I can to save my life or even improve it. Right. She doesn't even want to try. And like when Derek like wants to talk about her being upset, she like just shuts him out and she doesn't even want to try and talk about it. So to me, it's almost like, yes, you do want to save people's life, but to have respect for life, that includes your own. So it's you can't really say that you care about saving lives when you don't care about saving your own life.
That's deep. That's a real good analysis. I like that.
Thanks. I liked yours as well. I think it's a good parallel point to make. So yes, it's definitely, but yeah, again, a line like that can definitely make you think a lot of different things about the life and death and the way they're portraying it in this episode and the transition.
Yeah.
Derek is in the waiting room. Derek is in the waiting room talking to a man, like, talks to him. He's like, oh, are you waiting for someone? Like, my wife was on the ferry and she got hit by a car. Isn't that crazy? Like, she got run over a car on a ferry boat. And Derek's like, oh yeah, my girlfriend was in the water. Like, we don't know if she's going to make it. The man asks for her name and he's like, oh, it's Meredith. And he goes, oh, I'm going to add her to my prayers. And if you were wondering if I was going to make this scene about how I hate Derek, you're right. I am going to, because Derek is so selfish. He doesn't ask this man any questions about, oh, do they think your wife's going to be okay? Like, what are her injuries? Like, are they done with surgery soon? Like, what have they told you? What's her name? I'll be thinking of her as well. Nope. Really need to sit in there and be sad about my life. I'm selfish.
Yeah.
I don't like this man.
To be fair, he's allowed to be, he's not thinking straight, but also it is a bit of a bummer when we have the full picture and we know that Meredith is like kind of half drowning herself and this poor guy's wife got fucking mauled by a vehicle on a ferry boat.
I'm just like, just ask, like, literally, yeah, whatever this man has said to you, just repeat it. Also,
it's easy. Yeah.
I don't care what the situation is. Derek could be sitting there like waiting for Meredith to get off of work, and this man could have said this to him and he still wouldn't have asked shit about his wife.
I believe you're correct on that.
Only the main character in his story, that no one else matters in Derek's life. There is only Derek in Derek's world.
He lives an enchanted life, one would say.
Oh, yes. That comes out really soon.
Jessica is trying to force me to watch Enchanted. I've never seen it.
Please do. It's actually so good. You'll really like it, especially his character.
Is it just exactly like Derek?
No, but he, like, calls out. He's like, when people start singing, he's like, how does everyone know the song? Like, why is everyone just singing? Like, I don't understand what's up. Like, he calls out the, it's like fourth wall breaking, which is,
that's
very,
my kind of, I love that.
Yeah, exactly. So you should definitely watch it. It's amazing. Also, Amy Adams is a treasure.
Amy Adams is someone who I know.
You definitely know her.
Amy Adams.
Red hair, petite.
I need to look her up.
Yeah, I'm going to get you a picture right now. Guys, I know you're just screaming at the screen. This one. Right here. Look, I found her for you.
Oh, isn't that, is that Lois Lane?
Yes.
Why didn't you just say that?
Well, because I haven't seen those movies and I actually only learned that today because I was reading an interview about how she was saying she was excited that Harry Cavill is going to be Superman again and they haven't approached her to be Lois Lane. And she said that she would love to do the films again, but even if they don't ask her, so many wonderful actresses have played this part before and I would be happy to watch another person get the opportunity.
Gosh, so humble. Look at that. Amy Adams, you're great.
She is a gem.
Even though I just learned your name right now.
She looks a lot like Isla Fisher, who is Sacha Baron Cohen's wife. And
who, I love her.
In Wedding Crashers, so good. I love her.
She's just stunning. She is
beautiful.
But I think
they look really similar. Like, truly, they do look very similar. They look very similar. Anyways, okay. We're on a
tangent. Who's
so
the
sorry.
Actor that plays Denny?
Everyone's yelling right now. He's in The Walking Dead. And also Supernatural.
He is Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Carmen, obviously it's Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Yeah. So I actually was watching, it was a random reel that was popping up on Instagram as I scroll through mindlessly. And he was listed as people who look like other people in Hollywood. And it was him and Javier Bardem. And I think said that.
Yes, but also I think the two of them look like Gerard Butler. I think they all three look like they could be related.
I could see Gerard Butler. I see Javier Bardem more, But Gerard Butler, oh man, love, what a great actor he is. Just him and Tom Cruise, if they could get into an action movie together, I would watch the fuck out of that. That would be dope.
He would crush him like a bug.
Because Tom Cruise held his own against literal Superman in Mission Impossible. So
yes, but Tom Cruise has like a complex about the fact that he's short and like makes other people crouch down around him.
They're not crouching. They use the majesty of cinema to make
and
him
platform
look
platform shoes.
And platform shoes. It's fine. It's
but
fine.
Like, it's not a big deal. Like
it's the season
short,
of short kings.
Short king. That's what I'm saying. Like no one. He cares way more than anybody else does.
It's true. It's true. Maybe it was the girl that he dated and married from Dawson's Creek that got in his head about it.
No, he was like that beforehand. He also married Nicole Kidman before
he
married.
That's right.
Katie Holmes.
Katie Holmes.
And
I thought that was gonna be another people yelling at us through the screen thing. Through their AirPods.
That one I know.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan, you assholes.
Yeah, that's on us, guys. That's my bad.
It's fair.
It's fine. So fine. Also, there's a movie called PS I Love You with Gerard Butler and Jeffrey Dean Morgan are both
what?
The love interests.
Who's the girl in that movie? I think I've seen this movie.
Hillary Swank.
Yes.
This was
me boxing,
just so you know. That was like
$1 million baby.
Hillary Swank is the main girl. It's one of those things. I'm like, it's a chick flick. It's a rom-com. It is what it is. But I really like that one. And I don't like a lot of them, but I enjoy that one. I'd watch that one again.
Listen, I'm a big fan of chick flicks
and
rom-coms.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan plays the guitar and sings in it and has an accent.
He's not even on the starring list. You know
what?
Who they have on the starring list on Wikipedia?
Phoebe? Is it Phoebe?
Yep. She's number three. It's Hilary Swank, Gerard Butler, Lisa Kudrow, Harry Connick Jr., Gina Gershon.
Oh, yeah, he's also
in that. Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Wow, I'm just fucking blind and can't read, apparently. And then Kathy Bates Motel.
Yes. Yes, it's a stacked cast.
That's a
good
pretty
movie.
Big cast. Yeah. Okay.
If you want to have feelings, watch it. It is. There's a lot of death in it. So heads up.
I'm gonna watch it.
Okay. Anyways, Grey's.
This
Anatomy.
Is a Grey's Anatomy podcast. We swear.
So this is what happens when we record during the day, guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're so awake that like we just can't even focus. Okay. Meredith is trying to save Bonnie again. Bonnie disappears again. Denny and Dylan are arguing again about whether or not Meredith is going to quote unquote get it. And Dylan is like, Meredith says something to him and he's like, hey, I completed my task. I saved you. I'm sorry. To me, this does seem like it's this moment. I don't think it's what they're trying to do, but to me it reads like I saved you. You have to save the world. And I don't think that's what they're trying to do. I don't know why I'm reading it that way. Cause if I think about it, he's like, his task is to save her so that she can live for all. I don't know truly, but I'm like, okay, the implication is like, I had to save you so that you could go on and do all of this great things. And now you're dying. So my saving you was moot. So
yeah,
I don't know.
The metaphor
that
they're
line?
Using is interesting. I only read it. I didn't get it the way that you're just saying it right now. I did get it in a way that she has to come to terms with something, or she has to complete saving something or someone, or there's an unfinished thing. And then obviously, you know, I don't want to jump to the end here, but we have this kind of resolution moment where she completes her task, or she hits her, you know, cause I think that she ends up saving someone before she leaves, I think is the end of the metaphor.
I see.
Getting up to this particular scene, I was also not fully tracking.
Yeah. Okay. The doctor's still working on Meredith. Her temperature dropped. They had gotten it up to 89 and now it's back to 86. So they're just like getting really frustrated. Ellis starts waking up and Derek is there. This is not good. This is not a good look for Derek. And this is not, I will say this, I'm not, it's harder for me to say on this one, like The other one, I'm like, oh, you're just being selfish. This one I fully see as more of like a response to the situation and like wanting to blame someone, because ultimately what we learn in this scene is he blames himself and he's trying to blame other people because he doesn't want to blame himself. And I will say, as much as I don't like him, it's not his fault. He shouldn't blame himself. But yeah, so he gives her some water and then he just starts, he doesn't start yelling, but he's saying really aggressive, hateful things. And then it kind of gets to yelling. And he says that she broke Meredith, told her that she was ordinary and that like ruined her life. And this, and she drowned herself because of Ellis's lack of approval. And he blames her, and Addison comes to the door and like hears him and calls him out and gets him to leave. And that's when she's like, it's not Ellis's fault. And even if it was, she can't fix her, so it doesn't matter. And that's when he launches into how it's his fault. He should have seen it coming. He wasn't there for her when she needed him. And which I think this is for sure one of the, I would say it's a stage of grief, like just looking for blame, like trying to focus and find a reason for what's happening. And that's when Addison asks, oh, you think she did it on purpose? And he says, she knows how to swim. She's a good swimmer, which I don't think is fair, because as we discussed last time, hypothermia, even if you are a good swimmer, the hypothermic shock of falling into that water might make it more difficult to get back to the land or the dock or whatever.
Maybe, but I also, I made a note earlier and I didn't say it because we were having just good conversation, but I've officially given up on trying to explain in my mind how she fell off the ledge and woke up in the middle of the bay. I'm giving up on that, because in my head, I fall off the ledge and I look 20 feet to my left and I just need to swim 20 feet. That's it. 20 feet. I don't even need a door to lay on in the middle of the Arctic frigid water with a whistle to make it happen. And I just don't understand. So I'm done trying to explain this to myself. So every time I hear her say, I fought hard, I'm like, I can't. I'm giving up.
You fought hard to get all the way out to the middle.
You literally went to the ledge and you kicked like a kid in a pool and you swam into the middle and you just fucking said, middle of Elliott Bay is where I'll find relief.
Did you like that Denny said Elliott Bay? After you had looked it up last week,
yeah.
You were like, hey, Denny confirmed that you were correct.
Yeah, Elliott Bay. I did like that. If I would have just waited one more episode to get curious,
we would have found out.
Yeah. Curse me. I'm always one episode early.
That's true. Also, this Addison has a line that I really like that said, you don't get to fall apart and break down when there's still a chance. And there is still a chance. So Addison's really pulling for Derek. She doesn't want him to lose Meredith, which is nice.
Which is sweet, especially considering their history.
Yes, agreed. Meredith is in the OR. Sorry. Meredith is in the OR looking for something and they're like, what are you doing? She's like, I'm going to find something that I can use for the next time Bonnie starts bleeding everywhere and I'm going to save her. And then he's like, can you just not do that though? And maybe we can talk about your bullshit. And this is when she said, this is a great scene.
Wonderful scene. Really good
this
scene.
This is when she says she swam and she fought and he's like, no, you didn't. You can't stay here. And he says she does, or she says she doesn't want to. And he's like, you do want to because it's easier, but you can't. Okay. So I have verbatim everything Denny says, because I was like, oh, I want to put that in. Oh, I want to put that in. And then I was like, I'm just going to put the whole thing in because it's very good. And it's very important, not just to this moment, but to the show overall, in my opinion. So he says, it's easier, but you can't, because George's dad died, because Izzy lost me, and Christina, when she was 9, she was in a car accident with her father and he bled out right in front of her while they waited on an ambulance to arrive. New information. We do not previously know this. We know that her dad died. We don't know how, and we do not know that this was the scenario. They are barely breathing. This will break them, and none of them deserve that. And this... Okay. This part I like less, but it's fine. Okay.
Wait, hold on. I think you skipped. Can you start over? Can you start that quote over?
It's easier, but you can't, because George's dad died because Izzy lost me and Christina when she was 9. She was in a car accident with her father and he bled out right in front of her while they waited for an ambulance to arrive. And then he says, and Alex, but doesn't say anything about Alex.
I made a point.
Because that's when Meredith cut him off and is like, shut up, basically.
Yeah, I made a note of that, and I want you to finish the quote because I know what comes next. I made a quote of that. But I made a note. They must have some sort of plan to reveal Alex's past, because every time they go to talk about Alex's past, it's like diverted some way.
Yeah.
And literally, I was like, because I also turned the subtitles on for the scene while I was watching it to not miss anything. Mm-hmm. And it goes, and Alex, and then it's the cut. And I'm like, oh, fuckers.
Yeah.
How will they reveal his backstory? His origin story? I want it. Anyways, continue. Yeah.
They are barely breathing. This will break them, and none of them deserve that. And this is the big one, so pay attention. Do you know what kind of miracle? He does say miracle.
He does say miracle. Damn it.
What kind of miracle it is that Derek is who he is? Do you know how rare it is that someone like him even exists? I'm making a face. He's still an optimist. He believes in true love and magic and soulmates. He's waiting for you. And if you don't come back from this, you will change who he is.
No pressure.
Derek is an optimist. Derek is a kind person. I just also think in a relationship, he's not his best self. I don't think he's a garbage. I do say he's a garbage person. I don't think he's a bad person in his core. Just think as a partner, he's garbage, if that makes sense.
Yes.
And also sometimes other times, like with this man, when he was like, I do think he's selfish, but like, I think you can be selfish and still be a good person. But yeah, when he was like, do you know how rare it is that someone like him exists? I'm like, not that rare. He's just an asshole man. Those guys are everywhere. Anyways,
how do you really feel about that?
I don't like Derek, but I do. I understand the point Denny's trying to make, that like Derek has been through a lot. Do we know about Derek? What do we know about Derek so far?
We know nothing.
You don't know any. They haven't said anything about him.
We met his sister at one point, and there may have been backstory talked about. I just don't remember. But all we know is that Derek is the brother Mark never had.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm having a hard time.
Yeah, I don't want to say anything, but I feel like they low-key mentioned something.
You'll need to Google this afterwards, because if they mention something, I just don't remember it. There's also just so much stuff in this show that has happened that I don't remember already.
We are 53 episodes in.
If you told me what happened in what happened in episode one, like if you asked me what happened in the pilot, I'd be like, I remember Katherine Heigl surprising me, and that was it. I can tell you
the full plot of the pilot right now. It was the pageant girl who fell during her rhythmic gymnastics routine and hit her head. And so she had like a brain aneurysm and she was having seizures. Her name was Katie Bryce.
Yeah, I remember that now. Yep. Okay.
Yeah. Yep. Do you remember when Addison showed up though? What a great moment. Television moment.
I remember the big scenes. I remember the pick me, love me, choose me. I remember the don't call me a whore. I remember Denny. I remember Addison showing up. I remember the bomb. I remember the pipe hole with a guy and a girl. I remember creepy ghost girl when that one time a ferry got crashed into by an oil ship or a cargo ship out in Elliott Bay.
Okay.
The big things, you know?
That's a good scene. Denny, Jeffrey Dean Morgan, guys, that's the actor who plays Denny. Jeffrey Dean Morgan does a great job with the delivery on these monologues. Convincing, genuine connection. Incredible. So good. Great writing. Great delivery. Back in the real world.
Can I ask you a question?
Please do. Please.
Is this the last time we see Denny?
I'm not going to answer you.
Okay, that's fair. I feel like it's not, but I want it to be because he gets, I don't know. We'll talk about it.
The end of this one is oof. Okay. Ellis Spoiler alert. Crashing. All I said was oof.
No, I was going to say something. Spoiler alert. I cried.
No, you didn't.
I cried during this episode.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. If you don't give this a 5, I'm going to beat you to death with a shovel.
Just shut the fuck up and tell me the things you want to tell me.
Okay. Ellis starts crashing. This is when we're doing lots of flashing every which way. Ellis starts crashing. Derek goes back in. Bailey has an idea to do cardiopulmonary bypass. And they're like, okay, cool. Paige Burke. Then Christina is at the bar doing Sudoku. And
$2 like, worth of Sudoku.
$2 worth of Sudoku, and I only paid 99 cents for it. What a deal.
I love that.
Bert comes and is like, there's no change. I just thought you should know. And she's like, no shit, there's no change. Like, obviously she's going to die. And I can't deal with it, blah, blah. This is another great scene. Oh, I love this scene. He's like, you should be there. And she goes, I know the science. It's drinking time. And Dr. Burke goes, this is about you and the woman you call your person. And you do know the science. And if she dies and you are sitting here, I can't see you coming back from that. Come and say goodbye to your friend.
Fuck.
Oh, my God. Ouch. So, so good. And like, what for such a short scene, it's like does so much. It says it's also like, I think paired with that to the Burke situation with Christina in the last episode, I think this is him making the connection of like what their bond is. Like, it's yeah. not just like, oh, we're friends. Like this is him seeing Christina go through this is him figuring out why she needs to tell Meredith about the engagement.
Yeah, it definitely was closure on that. And I think Burke, regardless, they're going to understand each other a little bit more coming out of mm-hmm. these mm-hmm. two episodes. And I hope that Burke understands that when she says that's her person, like it carries a lot more weight.
Something. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, for sure. Meredith and Denny are talking and she's like, I was swimming. And then I just thought, why? Like, what's the point? So she stopped. So she admits to like she was swimming, she was fighting, and then she admits to giving up, which is sad. So they're sitting there in the hallway and Denny kind of stops and smiles. And Meredith's like, why are you doing that? And he's like, Izzy. And she goes, oh, can you see her? And he's like, no, but sometimes when we're in the same moment at the same time, I can feel her. And I like to think that she can feel me too. Ouch. And he says, but that's all you get are moments. That's all you get on this side. And that's when he disappears. And then the hallway starts filling with water. And I think this is kind of when you have the moment of like, oh, this is what they meant by out of time. We don't have a lot of time before you're going to either drown or not drown, even though you already drowned for a million years.
It's true. Yeah. But this is the real drowning now. Once you're dead, you really drown.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You get to drown a second time on this side. Bonus if you, drowning.
If you drown in like your life and that's how you die and you are sitting there in the afterlife and you're just like chit-chatting with God and the devil and they're trying to figure out, hey, like, we're not going to tell you where you go yet because plot twist, you got to go fucking drown one more time. What a fucking shitty way to die. What a fucking garbage. And also,
it's like everyone, one of my nightmares.
Yeah. And also, you know, obviously, yeah, I just mentioned a very black and white version of the afterlife that I personally believe in. Obviously, we have no idea what the afterlife looks like. So whatever you believe, you know, just, you know, imagine you're drowning again. It. Yeah, you're free to believe it. Just you're drowning again. It's fine. Everyone drowns.
I just like drowning's my name. Any scenario of death where you like know that you're dying while it's happening is nightmare.
Drowning, burning in a
burning,
fire.
I was going to say. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So interesting that they're like the opposite, but the same.
I actually have been reading a lot, and this is, I don't want to talk too much. We've already done a lot of rabbit holes in this episode.
We are tangenting like crazy.
I was reading this article about giant squid the other day, and I was like, what a fucking, can you imagine a giant squid coming up to you? Like you're just in the ocean, you're going for a swim, you know, like a mile off the beach, and you're just like boating with some friends. And all of a sudden, a gigantic squid comes up to you and goes, remember those sushis that you ate? Yeah, those are my brothers. And then it just takes you down into the depths.
This is why I can't get Carmen to agree to go on a cruise, guys. Because he's too busy reading and scaring himself from the giant squids.
Listen, there are squids out there larger than cruise ships, okay? I don't know what to tell you. Actually, that's not true. Cruise ships are probably true.
I'm going to be legit.
I mean, maybe. Maybe we just haven't. The ocean is massive, literally.
It is. There's so much of the ocean that we don't know shit about. It's terrifying.
Yeah. Did you ever watch The Meg with Jason Statham?
Stop. No.
Okay. All right.
It's a scary movie. I don't watch those.
Well, it was good because there's a shark.
I don't like sharks.
Okay.
I like the ocean, so I can't watch shark movies because then I won't go in the ocean anymore.
Oh, that's what ruined me, I think.
I've never seen Jaws. Okay. Anyways, so the water comes. George and Izzy run into each other in the hallway, and he's like, what the fuck did you say to my wife? And she's like,
go off, George. Fucking do it.
I can't lie about how I feel. And he's like, actually, people lie all the fucking time, so why don't you just start lying? That would be great. We would all really appreciate it. But this is like a little, like, what? Why are you? He gives in. And I don't like it. He's like, well, if I am making a mistake, I'm going to need you. So stop being a jerk. Don't give her that. Don't give her the satisfaction of that thought.
Right. Right. But that wasn't the whole thought. The first one is, if you're wrong, you're going to look like a jerk. And like, I'm not going to be in your life anymore. But if you're right, yeah. Like I am going to need you and you're making it harder and you're taking that away. Yeah. I don't know. That was a really good scene by George. Cause it's basically what you and I have been saying this whole time. Like, what's the worst that can happen by just not fucking saying every piece of shit that comes to your mind when it comes to Callie? Just don't say it. It's not hard.
Yeah. Sometimes it's hard, but it's not that hard.
It's not that hard.
It's not that hard. I never tell Jessica that I hate you.
Right.
That's a lie. I tell her all the time.
Oh, okay.
It's the best kind.
No doubt. Yeah.
It's the endearing hatred. The hatred, like when you hate your best friend, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Maybe Izzy and Callie are future best friends.
Official Carmen
prediction is Izzy and Callie become best friends by next episode.
That is a good one. Okay. So Derek is working on Ellis and he's like Paige Burke and they're like, he's with Meredith. They get Meredith's temperature up. And they're like, okay, well, she's warm now. So then it flashes to her in the afterworld. She's like, I do want to go back. I don't want to stay here. Ellis is dying also. Meredith isn't waking up. Weber is about to give up. But then she has the VFib, so they shock her. Bailey yells at Meredith and is like, don't give up. She's like so desperate for something to happen. Christina comes in and they're like, what is happening? This is lots of flashing, so I'm just going through it really fast. Meredith in Dead World is panicking. She wants to go back. She's like, I can't stay here. It's not enough. Moments aren't enough. Sees Ellis in the hallway, so she goes out to her. Christina's holding on to Meredith's feet and like crying, and she's like, try again. And they're like, well, and she's like, try again. And they're like, oh, okay, we'll try again.
you bring up a great medical point there, Christina. Wonderful. Let's do this.
That's a good argument. I didn't look at it that way. Meredith walking towards Ellis. Derek is trying to save Ellis. Ellis tells Meredith she shouldn't be there. Meredith is like, you shouldn't either. Ellis hugs her. Meredith tells Meredith she's anything but ordinary. And she's like, now run. Derek is still trying to save Ellis. Meredith starts running.
When she hugs her and says that she's not ordinary, that's where I started. It's like the pickle jar situation. I'm getting loosened with a pickle jar. I was starting to get emotional. And everything else, the rest of the scene, the rest of this episode just builds up to obviously the last scene. But I just want you to know that this is my pickle jar moment. And I just wanted to point that out.
Thank you. I like that. I like that analogy. Thank you so much. So Derek is trying to save Ellis and Meredith runs and her heart starts beating in the real world. Everyone breathes a small sigh of relief. They take her intubation out. Addison's like, oh, is she breathing on her own? Like, how's her brain activity? They're like, we don't know. She hasn't really woken up yet. And Addison's like, cool. Did you page Derek? She's like, no, I just wanted to make sure she was actually alive before I called him, which is fair, honestly. So Christina is alone with Meredith. Meredith is like, and that's truly what she did.
Seriously. And then she's like, say one word. And she's like, ouch.
Yeah. So Christina's like, try again. And then she just goes, your brain works. All you need to do is form one word, please. And Meredith wakes up and she goes, ouch. like E.T. Christina.
Never seen that movie.
What?
I've never seen E.T.
conversation. Christina is happy.
Check out our Patreon to talk about Kelsey yelling at me for not seeing E.T.
And immediately tells her about Burke. And she just says, "You are the one person I wanted to tell. Thank you for not dying." So sweet. I love it so much. I also love that she's like, "I know this is like the last thing you need to worry about right now, but I needed to tell you in case you slipped and fell in the hallway." The other interns get paged. They come. They see she's awake. They move her to a room. Derek is waiting for her to wake up. Wakes up. He goes to tell her about Ellis. And she already knows. And she goes, "It's okay, I think."
Yeah. Like, listen, okay. her and I, we talked on the way out. And,
yeah, don't
it's
worry.
All good.
We passed each other.
Gave her a quick hug. Patted me on the shoulder. It was all good.
Addison is looking through the window. Mark comes up. She's like, "Oh, he never felt that way about me." And Mark's like, "I did." And she goes, "All right, fine. If you really want me, prove it. 60 days, no sex. And if you go 60 days without having any sex, then I will date you." And he's like, "So only us have sex?" He's like, no one has sex. You don't have sex with me or anyone else. And he's like, but he agrees. And then he says, "Well, if I'm not having sex, then you can't have sex." And she's like, "Who the fuck would I have sex with?"
Then it pans to Alex. Foreshadowing.
Alex is checking on Jane Doe. And he's like, "These are all the things we learned about you. You're not diabetic. You don't have heart problems. You're not a smoker. Your baby's a girl." It's a nice, nice moment. And she's like, "Oh, is your friend okay?" And he's like, "Yeah, she pulled through." So it's just a good, we're all feeling pretty good. Miranda thanks Sydney for taking care of the clinic. And then Sydney is like, "You're going to give me a run for my money for chief resident." And Bailey's like, "Damn right I am." Izzy tries to ask George to forgive her, but doesn't apologize. It's a trend in this show. No one likes to apologize.
Yeah.
She's like, "You just have to forgive me. I'm not wrong, but you need to forgive me."
So. I know it's been less than, 6 hours since I used my monologue that I got to shit on you, but like, you just have to forgive me. That was like so
Meredith's
6 hours
alive,
ago.
So you can forgive me now.
Clearly I was right and I know everything, so...
I said Meredith was going to survive, so obviously your marriage is also a mistake. Richard saying goodbye to Ellis. This is sad. This is like, because this is, it's like done, right? There's no more back and forth. There's no more, he's here, she's kind of here. They're, wondering about the what ifs of the relationship, but she's got Alzheimer's, so they can't really be together anymore anyways. Like, it's done. There's no more being together. She died. The end. So this is like truly the finalist goodbye for them, and it's good that he gets the closure, but it's sad.
It is a sad scene. The whole end of this episode. It's sad.
They never got their moment to see like the what if.
I actually disagree.
They talked about it. What I mean to say is they didn't get to live their what if.
No, but they never were going to regardless, because she wasn't going to just get cured of Alzheimer's. But I think, to me, the real end of their story was the last moments they had while she was still lucid.
I see.
That's how I view the end of their story.
I see. So it's unsettling. I can't imagine sitting so calmly next to a dead body and saying all of these things. But I'm not a doctor. So then we see Derek cuddling Meredith, and then we get Izzy leaving the hospital. This shot is so beautiful. Like cinematography, like stunning. Like, she's walking one way, he's the other. He's got the glowy afterlife glow. She's in the real world. They like freeze. They're facing opposite ways, and the camera just fully pans like a full 360 around them, and they both kind of have the same like inhale, like moment of feeling each other, and then she just like walks away and he just stands there, and I got goosebumps while watching it, and I also got goosebumps again just describing it to you. As much as I do not like Izzy, that is like such an impactful moment, and like really, really well done, like with no words, like such a good moment. It's sad and beautiful and incredible. And it just makes you think about people leaving and not really being gone. And then the episode is over and Carmen had feelings.
I did. I was not expecting to feel that way. I think it was just a lot of things happening leading up to it. The last like 8 minutes of the episode.
Yeah.
Because you get
and also maybe in your life. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, nothing in my life. I don't know. I've never been through any traumas. So I imagine that
I'm only healed. I am healed from traumas I never even had.
Yeah. No, I think that having the first thing that started down that emotional path was obviously Ellis and Meredith getting their moment. And whether or not anytime you get to see metaphors like this in a TV show, it allows you to look into the psyche of the show writers and the showrunners, right? Do they believe that this truly was Meredith being dead, or do you believe that this is what the serotonin release in your brain, right? That you're just making up a story within your brain. You know, who knows what these writers actually believe happens when you're in this dead state, this comatose, non-functioning body state. But either way, Meredith gets the healing. She gets this closure. Not necessarily healing, but she gets closure.
Yeah.
And then taking it all the way through to the next step of, and you bring up obviously that good point of, you know, people who pass on who aren't really truly gone. That's a good metaphor for that there, and a good commentary on the afterlife. And if people choose to stick around to be with the people that they cared for in this real world, this living world. But yeah, when Denny and Izzy cross paths and they touched each other and just the look on both their faces, and you could see how happy Denny was. I got emotional, and it was one singular tear. And it was just very,
it's for speaks all to the quality of the artistry done.
It's
writing,
true.
Acting, filming, like all of it.
It almost makes me feel bad for all the shit talking that I give Izzy for how much she loved Denny in a short amount of time, because how much he loved her as well.
I don't think that they didn't love each other. I just think we weren't shown enough to believe it the way it was presented that we should be believing it.
Which I agree. But just it was really well done, and it makes you just think, yeah, well, fuck, I don't want to lose people that I love. I don't want to lose people that I'm close to, that I care about. Just a great, great episode ending. Wonderful, wonderful wrap on that.
Rate it.
Don't yell.
Oh my God.
It's not a 5.
Oh my God. It's so a 5. You're so wrong.
Listen, it is a 4.89.
It's a 5, Carmen. What's wrong with you? It made you cry just because no one exploded.
That's the only reason.
They brought back the person who did explode. How is that not good enough?
Bonnie bled 3 times, and this guy didn't explode once. And I'm not going
to... Meredith survived her 4-hour drowning episode. And you're not going to give this a 5?
No, I'm not.
She saw Ellis in the afterlife.
Okay, all right, it's a 5. I'll allow myself to get bullied into being a 5.
I'm not bullying you.
You
because
are the,
it's a 5.
It's okay, listen. All right. I will give it a 5, but I want to put an asterisk that it's the only 5 that I will ever give out moving forward without a dramatic bomb explosion death.
You know, you're not really being fair to the show.
Okay,
like
all
you'll
right,
only get 5
fine.
If someone explodes. They can't do that same storyline 100 times.
I'm not saying 100 times. I'm saying once per season on average.
That's going to be 100 pretty soon.
Yeah. Okay, so I will round. I will generously round up those 0.11 points up and give it a 5. I was not expecting to feel all of the emotions that I did in this episode. It was greatly written. there are still things that I'm frustrated about. I am still obviously frustrated with the way that Izzy decides to just fucking shit on George and Callie.
Yeah.
That's our job, is to shit on George and Callie, not Izzy's job.
Exactly.
So that was really, and I also, I will say, I'm very excited for the Mark and Addison storyline. I'm curious how that's going to go. I don't think that they'll actually end up together or it'll happen, but I'm curious, very curious. And I'm glad that Alice's storyline is over. I'm glad that her suffering, even if it is fake in a TV show, is over. So she's at peace, and that's good. So yeah, overall, I'll give it a 5, and then I think we could rate the arc after I hear what your ranking is.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah, also a 5 for me. I don't have much to add. Just like the, again, writing, acting, cinematography, all of it is so good. Definitely a really good wrap up to the arc that we've been seeing. Definitely better than the other two episodes. I mean, the other two episodes were good, but this one's just a lot. Like, it's just above and beyond. It's something so different. And to get to see it, it's really great. And just so well done. And yeah, they didn't like get too crazy specific with the afterworld aspect of it, but I think it still would connect with people of really, I think, any belief system about what happens afterwards. So I think that's good as well. And yeah, I just think it's wonderful, even though some people in it are the worst character wise. Overall, it's just such a well done episode. I can get over it.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you rank the arc, the whole arc episode of the three episodes?
The three episodes together, I would say like 4.7, just because the middle ground one was like, there was just too much prepping for this one. And also we were just like, how long has she been drowning?
Yeah.
It was, again, not bad, just it was fine. But the first one was great and this one was great. So for me, it's like a 4.5.
Wait, 4.5 or 4.7?
4.6.
Okay, 4.6. Because actually,
in the middle of those two.
4.6 was my exact rating.
Well, there you go. I got there.
Yeah. We both peer pressured ourselves. You peer pressured me up 0.11. I peer pressured you down 0.1. So we're even. It's a wash. It's fine. Yeah, the arc for me, honestly, the only thing in that middle episode that was stupid is Meredith drowning for 40 minutes. Everything else, actually, I really enjoyed. I enjoyed the buildup of the Christina and Burke tension. I enjoyed Izzy setting herself up to have egg on her face. I enjoyed maybe not the creepy girl and all that, but there was a lot of things I enjoyed about last episode. And that was the really big bummer for me. But the end, the closing chapter of this, and I think they couldn't have closed these three episodes with a more perfect scene with Izzy and Denny.
Yeah.
Like that. This is going to be a core memory event of this TV show for me moving forward. That scene between the two of them.
Yeah, and I think also what's great about that scene is I don't think you don't really see it coming, because like Izzy hasn't, like obviously Denny was like a huge part of this episode and Meredith's journey. But Izzy's just kind of been having a normal time in the background. So I think you don't really see something like that coming. So then it extra comes out of left field and hits you right in those feels.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, that was it. This has been our extra special surprise Friday episode.
Surprise.
We hope you've all enjoyed it. This is what happens when we record in the day. So sorry about that. It's a little extra tangenty. But this is also like just a big episode. It's gonna have a lot of conversations about it. Remember to follow us on the social meds, Carmen's fave place.
Totes my goats, social meds.
You can email us at graysacademypod@gmail.com. You can find our Patreon link in the episode description and in our Instagram bio link tree. Please continue to share and tell your friends all about us. We are really enjoying doing this episode, and we're really hoping to be able to bump up the amount of content we're distributing. So we could really use your continued support, and we so appreciate the support you've been giving up to this point. But if you are skipping down the streets and you see Carmen, remember.
No spoilies. Don't spoil it. but do have a conversation about the things that happened all the way up until this point in the show, and quiz me and see if I remember, and just start naming patients and we'll see if I remember them, and just, you know, sing Living in Shondaland to me. It'll be great and we'll have a wonderful time. And besides that, we appreciate you guys. We appreciate you all. We will see you all next week on Thanksgiving, and we'll see you all in the next
one. Safe travels.
Yeah. And just, you know, be safe on Black Friday, you know, all that stuff too. So, all right. Happy Thanksgiving.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.